With that in mind, if you would turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And also in your bulletin, you will have a basic outline in the form of an insert, again, inside your bulletin. Have you ever known somebody to work real hard to accomplish a goal or to attain something and then stop just short of it, just give up on it just when they were almost to attain that goal? We knew a couple of students in college who worked hard through school for 3.5 years, for 7 semesters of college work, and quit with only 1 semester left. Just 1 semester away from getting your degree, getting your bachelor's, and stopping, and that astounded me. You did 7 semesters worth of work, and you stopped with just 1 semester away. I think it was at least one student that I went to high school with that we were like within a month of high school graduation, and this student dropped out of school. And I thought, why would you drop out of? You're so close. That's 12 years of schoolwork that you stopped just short of it. Now, on the grace end of me, I don't know, maybe there's more to that story than I knew of that led to that decision, but it's sometimes baffling when people will stop just shy of accomplishing the whole thing. And we've been talking about becoming fishers of men, hence our props on our stage here, that Jesus is calling us to fish for men, for people. And as we've learned, this is not just making converts, this is making disciples. And sometimes we go all in on trying to touch people's lives, minister to them. We take the risk of starting to have that spiritual conversation with them that we were nervous about bringing up. And we begin to do all of that stuff, and we stop just short of what would complete the work of fishing for men. And today is that last step of how we are to build this Love Your Neighbor project. And all of us in our lives have this craving to have a life of meaning. We might not all want to be famous. We might not care about wealth and those sort of things, or even really acclaim, but we want our lives to mean something. And we show that by our striving. How many times we're striving to accomplish things, the way we interact in our relationships, and we're striving for things. We want to be a good person. We want to have a positive impact. We want to make a difference. When we reflect upon, when we go to a funeral and someone has passed away and we reflect upon life, we begin to wonder, how will people respond when I'm gone? What kind of impression, impact did I make in this world? What kind of legacy did I leave? And again, we might not have grand ideas in our mind, but we just want to make some form of an impact that lasts. And that craving within our hearts is a craving that God has placed in us, because he knows that there is a looming day ahead of us that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in which he says in verses 13 through 15, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. We don't want that to be our recommendation into heaven. You just barely got in, all right? You have smoker's clothes on because you have smoke all around you, and you just got in by the skin of your teeth. And when we stand at the judgment, I want you to imagine this. All the things that you did with your life, all the stuff you spent on your time on, is going to be placed on the altar before God, and the fire will come to consume it, and anything that is not built on eternal value will be gone. And then after that moment, you will stand before God, and he will say, what did you do with your life? And you'll say, well, I did something, but I don't see any of it anymore. It's gone. And we spend so much of our energy working towards things and trying to accomplish stuff, and we get busy, and we're running after this and we're running after that. And I wonder how much of it has any eternal value, that when we pass on from this life, that it'll be worthless. It won't have any worth whatsoever. We spend so much of our time on our jobs and our careers and doing so much work there. And James says that we came into this world without anything. And when we leave, we won't have any of these material things. And you might say, well, I have to work a job to make a living. Yes, we have to work a job to make a living. But there's working a job to make a living, and then there's an obsession. And some of us focus so much on accomplishing that job, for whatever reason we see value in that. But when I lay that job at the altar before Jesus at my judgment, will it stand the test of that fire? And if you're using it for eternal purposes, you're using that as an open door to witness to people and share your faith to others and minister to people, then that makes that have eternal value. Or our parenting and our family relationships that we have. We're supposed to be good parents. We're supposed to be honoring our father and mother. But when you stand before God, he's not going to give you applause because you made it to every single family function. He's not. As important as that might be, he's not going to say, well, you went to every family reunion, so enter into the joy of your master. And are those things important? Yes. Are those things valuable? Absolutely. But what part of the pursuits that we're going after has actual eternal value? Now, if you're a parent, you should be pastoring your children and leading them to Christ and ministering to them in that fashion, and that has eternal value. You, when you're demonstrating your love towards your family members and being honoring God and commandments, that has value. But if your consumption of family time gets in the way of the kingdom of God, then what do I have when I stand before God at the judgment? Or we have our hobbies, or how much time is consumed by watching TV or doing this. And you know what's funny? We make fun of people doing this, but then we have our own session when we are. And not that there's a problem with relaxing, and not that Facebook is not the Antichrist and all that stuff, as much as some people think that it is. But what do you have in your life that has eternal value? You see, if you want to leave a legacy, if you want to have an impact, if you want to stand before God at the judgment and have him give you a reward, then we must have something that has eternal value. So what are you spending your time on? And we've been going through this series, the Love Your Neighbor Project. And John, if you would grab these yellow cards. If you don't have one of these are commitment cards to the Love Your Neighbor Project. If you don't have one of these or you misplaced yours, we're in the fifth part of this, so probably most of you have them. But if you want to just lift up your hand, John will give this to you. And again, we're holding on to these throughout the duration of the series. On this card, you have the first part is My Jerusalem. And we see that Jesus called us to be witnesses, first to Jerusalem, then to Judea, then to Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, these are actual locations, but in context, he was speaking to the disciples that were in these locations, and he wanted them to start first where they were. And there are people around you that God has placed in your life, he's placed you in their lives, that they are the first people that you should be pursuing to lead to Christ. They're your Jerusalem. And so you jot those people down on this card. These are the people I'm praying to reach. Then the second part is the need, or in our message we called it the buttons. We want to be people that push people's buttons, and not in the wrong sense, but in the right sense of demonstrating God's love to people. And we want to find what is it that we can do that will help these people and minister to their lives and support them. And we want to start doing those things. The third part was how will I help, or probably better, how will I build a relationship with them? And so I go beyond just doing good things for them. Now I'm having them into my house and having a dinner with them, or I'm going to lunch with them at my job, or I'm doing some kind of activity. I'm building a friendship with them. And then the last message was my net. How will I begin to transition this demonstration of love to a spiritual conversation? And how will I cast the net out for them? And as you do that, and as you begin to see interest, start a Bible study. You see, you have three people you're working with, and they start getting interested in the Lord. Do a Bible study with them. Or have a discussion group. Maybe they're not open to a Bible study yet. Maybe they're atheists, and they have different questions about the faith. Then have a discussion group and say, all right, let's have your questions, and let's talk about those. And start guiding that in that direction. But the last step is my church invitation. And you see, we're called not to make converts, but to make disciples. And so many times we work so hard to work in someone's life and minister to them, and then we don't get them into the body of Christ where they can have stability and strength and support beyond just me. And that's the next step and the last step we need to take on this. And even though, again, I remind you, even though the series ends today, the project is supposed to go throughout the duration of 2018 as we're loving our neighbor. And do you want to do that? Do you want to make an impact upon the world around you? And if so, then we need to be motivated to invite people. And how do we get that motivation? We can have that motivation if we have insight. If we have insight into what the church is, then we will have motivation. That starts with 1 John chapter 1. If you would look there with me, 1 John chapter 1, the first four verses, says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, verse 2. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. And if you pay attention to context, we will find that this is the person of Jesus Christ that we're referring to here. And then he moves on and says, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that. And we'll pause right there for a moment. So they're proclaiming Jesus. They're telling people about Jesus. They're telling people about the way of salvation. And then he says, so that. And when you hear those two words, they're very important words when you hear so that. Because so that means what was going on before those two words is impacting what happens after those words. And I'm doing the first part so that I can accomplish what happens after the so that. And so I'm proclaiming Jesus, and I'm sharing the life of Christ and sharing salvation with other people, and I'm doing that why? What is the so that? Again, verse 3, middle part there. So that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be made complete. We're sharing Jesus with you so that not only will you have fellowship and a relationship with him, but that so that you will have a fellowship and a relationship with all of us. We want you to experience the body of Christ. And so that's the last step of this. As I had showed you the living water, I showed you how to come to know Jesus. Now come and be a part of his body. Come and be a part of the church, and I'm inviting you into this. And notice he said, verse 4, I want you to be a part of this so that my joy will be made complete. I will have joy if you are a part of this. Do you hear that invitation? That's a good invitation. And he's extending that to them, and the first part of this insight is understanding our calling to lead people in to the body of Christ. Now, for some of us, all we need is that Jesus wants us to do that, and we'll do it. If we know Jesus wants us to do this, then we'll start doing that. If Jesus says, go and speak, then I'll speak. But not all of us are there. If Jesus says, I want you to be in church, as he says, as we saw in Hebrews 10, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. For some of us, that's good enough. If Jesus says do it, we'll do it. But not all of us are fully submitted in that way. Some of us, we want reasons. You know how when our kids, we tell you, don't you love when you say, do this, and they say, why? What do you mean, why? I'm dad, you're the kid. You don't say, why? You just do it. But some of us are like children, right? We're the children of God, and God says, do this, and we say, why? What's the big deal about that? I don't see any value in that. Why do I need to do that? And some of us are saying that when it comes to being a part of the body of Christ, we're saying, why? Why do I need to do that? And why do they need to come and be a part of that? Because he said so. And some of us are there. Some of us are there, but some of the people that you invite to come here, they're most likely not there. They're not in a place where, oh, okay, the Bible says to do that. Sure, I'm going. They're not there. They need to know the value in being in the body of Christ. And if we know that, even if we're the type that's willing to just submit and say, well, if God wants me to bring them in, I'll bring them in. We need to know how to communicate this in a way that draws them to it. And so we have the first insight into our calling to do this. The second insight is on the value of church. Insight on the value of church. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Inspiration. Inspiration is part of being in the body of Christ. Have you ever felt like you've come to church and you had a pep rally? You know, I had a bad week this week. I blew that. I messed this up. I was discouraged. And then I came into the house of the Lord, and I'm walking out. I'm walking in victory. I can do this. Because you had a pep rally. Whether it was through what the Holy Spirit was doing during the worship service, whether I was blessed enough to be given a word that struck you and inspired you, but we get this inspiration. Sometimes it's just in our conversations with one another as we're sharing with each other, like with Denise sharing that testimony. That's an inspirational thing, that if I find myself in isolation and disconnected, I miss that inspiration that is available in the body of Christ. And you can, to some extent, to those of you who are into the modern age and you say, well, I can get that on the television screen and I can listen to those messages on the radio and online, the only challenge is, yes, you can get that inspiration, but to a limited extent, because they can't speak directly into your personal life because they don't know what you're going through. They can't respond to your specific questions. And that inspiration is available to us in the body of Christ. So when I'm asking someone, will you come to church with me? And they say, why? Then you say, well, because of this inspiration that I got. You should have heard what happened in this lady's life when they've been praying for this daughter to be returned to her home. And that inspires me to live. And that's why I want you to have that. And doesn't that sounds better than just, will you come to church with me? Why? Because you have to. Because God says so. And so if we know the value of being in church, then all of a sudden we have this motivation to invite. The second value is Colossians 3:16. It's similar. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Insight. We receive insight when we're in the body of Christ. As much as we might think that we know the Bible frontwards and backwards, and we've heard all the teachings, and we've heard all the sermons, and so we know it all, have you ever been astounded by you just couldn't figure something out? You were really wrestling with it. You were trying to figure out the answer. You were even studying the scriptures, and you couldn't find the answer. And you asked somebody else a question, and they just knew the answer right off the top of their head. Have you ever had that before? And it was just this insight that you're like, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. Or maybe you're struggling with some form of temptation, and you're really trying to overcome that, and you can't figure it out. And someone just has the right insight for you that just changes the course of your life when it comes to that temptation. And that is not available to us if we isolate ourselves away from the body of Christ. That is the value. If you ever wonder, why do I keep coming every Sunday morning? Why do I come to the Bible studies and those things? The value is the inspiration and the insight that is found by being present with the body of Christ. Then the third value, in Ephesians 4, verse 12, as it's listing the leadership offices of the church, it says their purpose is this: to equip the saints for the work of ministry. There is training available in the body of Christ. That if you're wondering, how do I do this, that how-to is available in the body of Christ. And you only get as much of that as you actually seek out. Because listen, if you're just a Sunday morning person, then you're only going to get a Sunday morning portion. That's it. That's all you're going to get. If you're just a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night, if you're a person that you're just going to show up at 10:05, sneak in the back door and go through the motions, and then as soon as the service is over, you're out the door and nobody even knows you were here, then that's all you're going to get. And sometimes we're searching for all these golden nuggets, but the golden nuggets is found by the volume of consumption. The more I consume, the more I find those gold nuggets. And if you're just getting one sermon a week, then that's not enough. But it's amazing how much, I mean, would you eat one meal a week? Would you do that? Some of you would say, I think I need to do that. It's like, but would you live off of one meal a week? Would you even live off of one meal a day? And we need to constantly be in connection with the body of Christ, because the strength of your spirit depends upon how much you get plugged in the body of Christ. And if you know that value, then you're going to become all that more convincing when you tell someone else to become a part of the body of Christ. Because it's not just, will you come to church with me? Why? Because there's a special thing going on. And while we can use those things, it's more powerful when you say, this is what happens in my life when I'm a part of the body of Christ. And it's powerful. And I want you to have that. Isn't that much more enticing? And so if we understand the value of being in the body of Christ, then we can have this motivation to invite. Fourthly, by a unique presence that is here in the body of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, "For there where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them," where two or three are gathered. Now, you can go on our website, bethelpgh.org, under the Listen tab and find the Mountain Movers series. And in there I go in one of those messages into great detail about the presence of God and how, yes, God is present everywhere, but yes, his presence is different from place to place. Because God is present everywhere, but he's also there in hell where God says his presence is not. And not that he actually doesn't exist there, but his favorable presence, his felt presence is not there. And we can experience God's presence by ourselves. God is with us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. But there is something unique about his presence when it's found in the company of other people who are seeking him. And I don't know if you've ever been in a prayer gathering where everybody really was intensely seeking God. There is something different about that presence than when you're praying by yourself. And I don't know if you've ever been in a function, maybe a spiritual retreat or a place where you're in an arena where there's thousands of people just pouring out their heart to Jesus Christ. There is a uniqueness to that presence that is unlike anywhere else. And as much as I can say, well, I don't need this and I don't need that and God's everywhere and so I don't need to be in church, then that's up to you, but you're missing something. There is something that you don't get to encounter because you're isolated away from the body. And isn't that what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12? That how can the hand say to the foot, I have no need of you? How can the eye say to the ear, I don't need you, and separate itself from the body? We need to be in the body of Christ because of the richness of the value that the body of Christ has that God intended for us. The inspiration, the insight, the training, the unique presence. Fifthly, the support. 1 Corinthians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up. There is this support network that is had in the body of Christ where there's people you can turn to that will be there with you, that will pray with you, that when you're in hospital and they find out, they'll come and see you and support you. If you just need someone to listen to you, they will be there for you. And you don't have that when you're off in isolation over here. And you also don't have, again, however much you move into it is how much you receive. And so again, if you're that person who sneaks in right after church starts and you exit out the door as soon as it's over and no one knows you're here, you're not going to have the same depth of a relationship and the same depth of support as the person who is infiltrated within the life of the church. And so if you want that support, you need to dive into it. That's how we find that value. And lastly, is the opportunity for impact. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift. Notice it says each. Every one of us has received a gift. 1 Corinthians says the same thing. God gives giftings, spiritual giftings to every person. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. You have an opportunity, as much as you might think, well, I'm good. I'm fine. I don't have any emotional problems right now. My finances are in order. I'm not struggling with anything, so I'm fine. And so I don't need that. And it is true, a lot of times when we feel the needs, that's when we respond and we pursue God and pursue the body of Christ. But somebody needs you. Somebody needs you. You have been uniquely created and uniquely designed to accomplish something nobody else can. And if you are not functioning in that, the people who need you don't have that. And you're robbing them of that support, that encouragement, that insight. You're taking that from them. And so we need to be here just to, and even sometimes just your presence. Because I don't know if you realize how much it's different if you're not there. And you might be quiet, you might not say much, but it's different because when you're there, even this, just like we said, if you're in that large gathering of people that are all worshiping the Lord, there's something different about that. It's different because the people are there. In fact, we began a Holy Spirit study on Wednesday nights in that first session. It was our largest gathering, and it's typical. That's usually how things go because we don't have strong stamina with things. But that first week was exciting. Everybody was kind of a buzz. There are so many people here. This is so cool. This is exciting. And then the next week, a little fewer. And the next week, a little fewer. And you know, some of the excitement level was taken when you left. It went with you. And that is an impact. And not that, again, don't misunderstand me. The Holy Spirit, is he there? Yes, absolutely. Can God move even when someone else is not there? Yes. But we cannot function without all the parts of the body. We need all the parts of the body. And when you step back and are not involved, then there's something missing. And that's the value of the body of Christ. And don't you want that? Don't you want to be a part of that? And the more we catch that concept, the better our invitation will be to someone else. Instead of just saying, will you come to church with me? It's, do you know all the things that happen to me when I'm there? You should come and be a part of that. That is so much more enticing. Amen? Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Even if my listing out to you some of the values of being a part of the body of Christ was not convincing for you, I hope the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your heart, that you become the type of person that says, God wants me to do it, then that's fine. I don't need to know all the ins and outs. I don't need all the explanations. I don't need someone to motivate me. God says do it, then I'm all in. And I hope that that's where you get to in your life. And I want to do you a favor. I don't want you to be the one who just squeaks in as singed by the fire. Because every one of us, and deaths that take place around us in our lives, and the older we get, the more deaths we see, we know that that is our fate that's looming ahead of us as well. And none of you are exempt from this day that you will stand, as Paul describes. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the fire that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. What are you building with your life? All the things that are consuming your time, will it last in the test of the fire, or will it go up in the flames? Are you leaving a legacy on this life, a footprint, an impact for eternity in the lives of others around you? If you want to have a life of meaning, a life of value, we must live for eternal things. And so if you're here this morning and you're sensing the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that you realize that first type of person who God says it and I just do it, that's not where your heart is right now. But that's where you want your heart to be. And you want to come as the worship team leads us in a moment and find a place at this altar and say, I want to be in submission to you, Lord Jesus. Whatever it is you are calling me to do, I want to submit to that. And I don't want to know the why. I don't need to know all the ins and outs of it. If you are calling, I want to answer. And in a moment, if that's you, I want to invite you to come. Or maybe you're here this morning and you feel powerless. You know that God is calling you to do something, but you don't feel like you can do it. The same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead and enabled him to do all the many miracles he did is the same power that's waiting to do a work in your life to empower you to do those things. And if you want to receive that empowerment, receive the Holy Spirit today, then I want to invite you, when the worship team leads us, to come and seek that empowerment from the Holy Spirit. Or maybe, lastly, there is repentance that needs to take place. As you realize, maybe it's not sin, maybe it's not something that it needs to be completely removed from your life. But there are things that you are allowing to consume so much of your time, as important as they might seem, and they're keeping you from fulfilling the call that God has on your life. And this morning, you want to repent before God and say, I'm sorry for wasting your time. And so as they lead us in this song, as we sung earlier, the cause of Christ, that's what we live for, then I want to invite you to come and let the Holy Spirit do his work among us. And as the psalmist says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That is, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, and we'll receive the desires of our heart, because our desires now become in sync with his. And the more we want what he wants, all of a sudden we find joy and we find life and we find, as Jesus promised, all these things being added to us because we're seeking first the kingdom of God. There is no greater thing to pursue than that. And I pray that this as we kicked off this year with this project, I hope that we find the joy of leading people to Christ, and not only doing that, but making disciples and getting them into the body of Christ. I don't even care if you met someone that lives out in Monroeville and you get them connected to a good church out there. It's not all about building one church. It's about building his church. But get them into a church, because we need to be in God's body. We need to be here. So bring them here, and the more we practice these principles that God has given us, you can invite a stranger on the street. You can invite someone you first met. But work on gaining that leverage, because there is a greater likelihood of getting a yes when it's someone you've been praying for, someone you've been demonstrating love towards them, someone you've been building a relationship with, someone you've been having those spiritual conversations with. Then when you say, will you come, the yes is so much more likely if we've done all the work that God has called us to do. Don't you want to build his church? There's nothing. Living for the cause of Christ, nothing more worth more than that. And so I'm excited for the journey God has for us. And the enemy's going to try to derail that. You try to surrender to him, and you try to do what God has called you to do, he's going to come in and throw any kind of thing your way. And that's why next week begins our journey on how do we tackle the schemes of the devil. How do we make sure that we are above those things and live in victory over his plans and his schemes? And I'm amazed, as I've prepared for this, how much the scripture has to say about fighting this fight against the enemy. And we're going to find victory. Don't you want to find that? So join us next week as that begins. And again, if you're with us for the first time, I want to invite you to that back room, last door, the double doors out down the hallway, last door on the left, refreshments just for you. And give me a moment, I'll get back there to spend some time with you. But we've received from the Lord now, and now we have something to give, right? We've been filled up, and we have... Oh, I wanted to say one other thing. The thing I like the least about preaching in this forum, where it's more like a monologue, is if you ever doubt something I say, or you're unsure about something I said, I don't usually get the opportunity to interact with that. And so if you ever do, just let me know, and let's talk about, you know, you disagreed with something I said, or you said this and I'm not sure what you meant by that. And most of you have my cell phone number. Call me or text me, and I'll be glad to have a conversation with you. And maybe you'll show me the light. Maybe I was wrong. And that happens every once in a while. Just kidding. It's great to be God's family, and you make it great. You being a part of this is what makes it great. Amen? So let's journey together. Worship team is going to lead us as we celebrate before we go. I hope you have a wonderful week in the Lord.